Okay, so he has a lot. There's a lot of Torah. The Avodas Yisrael has a lot on Zachar and a lot on Purim. Some of it's a little harder. Some of it's a little easier. Let's focus on this center piece, I guess, of his Mahalach on Zachar, and his Mahalach on Amalek. Again, the section is titled Parsha Zachar, but it's his Purim Torah all rolled together. So don't think of it as only relevant to this past Shabbos when we read Parsha Zachar. It's obviously everything. It's our whole life. Okay, so let's see. We are on page, whoever has it, page Kuf. Okay, Zachor eis asher asal lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek tried to do to you. Dihinei shusa da'alma likro ulachanos adam rasha b'shem Amalek. It's the way of the world to call a person who's acting like a rasha Amalek. And by the way, that's not only for non-Jews, that's for Jews also. I think by Chabad, it's like a big Inyan. Like if someone's acting in a way that's, that's not Jewish, you call them a Malik. It's like the ultimate insult. Call someone a Malik. And it says the Kajnitz or Magid, that's the way of the world, that you call a wicked person a Malik. Does that mean the person's a biological descendant from a Malik? No, not necessarily. But apparently a Malik is the term that we assign to any type of rishus, any type of evil. Ve'ein lecha davar lamata she'ein lo shoresh v'tam. And there's nothing that we do in this world that doesn't have a deeper explanation. So obviously, if you call a person a malik, right? If your chavrusa shows up late for Seder, you call him a malik. Now, God forbid. Just joking, right? But apparently, a malik is a term that you use for anyone who's not anyone who's not acting the way a Jew should act. You call him a malik. Well, what's the reason for that? What does a malik represent? And obviously, it goes beyond again a people. It goes beyond a person named a malik. It goes beyond a nation named a malik. What is a malik? He says a malik is a tuma, a malik is a rishus that enters into a person. It's a point of contention within a person. Think of a malik not only as a people, not only as an enemy that needs to be eradicated, but think of a malik as a point within yourself. And you'll see he's actually going to kind of prove it to us in the words. He's not the only tzaddik who says this idea. But think of a malik as an inyan rab lev kol ish, as a negative point within each person. Asher lo lacham kenegdo kara'oi. I like that lashon, that you haven't battled properly. The part of yourself that you haven't really worked on, it's a little bit off, it's not right. There's a part of your soul that's very underdeveloped, and you haven't really engaged it. You haven't worked on it. Ki ikar inyan amalek hu hayetzahara tzorer kol adam. Because the main amalek is not fighting what? Is not fighting a people. It's not fighting a nation. The primary amalek, again, amalek is not just a biological reality. Amalek is an idea. And therefore the yetzahara, who's the tzorer kol adam, just like Haman is called the Tzorer Kol HaYehudim, so the Yetzirah is the Tzorer, is the arch nemesis, the enemy of every person. That's called Amalek. V'zeh milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. And that's what it means, that the battle against Amalek is in every generation. Let me ask you, how are you fighting Amalek today? Do you know who Amalek is? Have you identified them? What does it mean when the Torah predicts at the end of Parshas B'Shalach that Amalek is going to be an ongoing battle? How is it a battle today? Dahainu shebechol dor uvechol shah. In every generation, and really at every moment, he amilchama hagedola asher anachnu nilchamim tamid kol yemei hayosenu al aretz. My entire life is milchama samalik. Milchama la Hashem ba amalik midor dor is an ongoing process of just existing. And he says that amalik actually stands for, amalik is notrikon, amalik is an acronym for Omel Kesem Umeri. Now, you may not recognize that. So let's go back to the Haftorah from this past Shabbos, the Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tezvav. And this is the moment where Shaul HaMelech has not finished the job. And Shmuel says to him, listen, Vayomer Shmuel, HaChefetz LaHashem Ba'olos Uzvachim Kishmo B'kol Hashem. Does Hashem desire your karbanos as much as He desires you listening to Him? Right? Listening to Hashem is more desirable than the fat of rams. Listen to Hashem. That's what Hashem wants from you. And then the pasuk says, "Ki chatas kesem meri, va'oven usrafim haftzar ya'an ma'asas devar Hashem v'yim ascha mimelech." Ki chatas kesem meri. For rebellion, meri, rebelling against Hashem, is like chatas kesem. Is like the sin of black magic, of divination. So says the Kashas Ramagid, Amalek is Amel Kesem Meri. Amel Kesem Umeri. Kesem Umeri again means using all sorts of witchcraft, which Amalek itself was known for. Right? But Amel, like you have in Parshas Balak, it says that Hashem did not see Lohibit Oven Biyako Velo Ra Amel Biyasrael. Rashi translates in Parshas Balak, the word Amel means Avera. So Amalek is the Avera of Kesem Umeri. It's the Avera of what? Of trying to rebel against Hashem by finding alternate pathways to try to live one's life. So therefore, we need to remind ourselves at all times, don't ignore the main road, you know? Don't get distracted by some of these back alleyways, right? Amalek is a lashon of what? Of akul. Akul means crooked. We mentioned that Mordechai is the same letters as Drachim, as the proper path that a Jew is supposed to walk on. Remember what Amalek did to you, Baderech. Amalek tries to get you to overcompensate in certain areas and to not battle in certain areas. So therefore, says the Kashas Ramagid, Amalek is what? Is the battles that we haven't really properly engaged in. It's the part of ourselves that, again, lo lachem kenegdo karaoi, is the part that we haven't really worked on properly. We haven't really fought a particular part of our soul, you know, a part of our Yetzirah. And therefore, we need to get to work. We need to start fixing those averos of kesem umeri, right? Kesem of divination, of believing in things other than Hashem is basically what it means, right? What is kesem? Kesem means I go to the palm reader, or I go to my, you know, my psychic, and I say, tell me, what do you see? Oh, I see this in the stars. I see this in the cards. I can read your palm. You don't need any of that. You just need a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu am ayin. Let me start asking around. Right? Let me start looking to astrology to provide me with the answers. You don't need any of that. That's the world of Amalek. That's the world of Haman. Haman was a sorcerer, according to some of the sources in Chazal. He was very good. He was busy with the lotteries. He was casting the lots. He was trying to read the stars. He was trying to figure it all out. But that's called the Amel Kesem Umeri. That is the Avera of rebelling against Hashem by looking to anything other than Hashem. So Amalek creeps into us. Amalek finds its way into our heart. V'zeh zachor eis asher asa lecha Amalek. And our Rebbe emphasizes the word lecha. Remember what Amalek did lecha to you. We think of Amalek as sort of this general problem. There's bad things in the world. No, no, no. Look yourself in the mirror, right? Put on the mask, you know, the Purim costume, but then take off the mask and look yourself in the face. Look yourself in the face in an honest way and say, how has Amalek damaged me? How has Amalek ruined my life? Zachor eis asher asa lecha Amalek. Lecha mamish. Not lecha in a general sense. Lecha, lecha, to you mamish. Lecha. You know, we know that in Mitzrayim, the Jews fell to level 49, right? Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, we're on the 49th level of Tumah. We didn't fall to level 50. Some of the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, the Rebbe of Kamar and other Tzaddikim explain, that Amalek is level 50. Zachor, remember what Asher Asa Lecha, Lecha's Gematria 50, Amalek. Look how Amalek drags you down to level 50. And what is level 50? The Rebbe of Kamarna said, level 50 is Kfira and Apikorsis, rejecting Hashem. So look how Amalek gets you off the derech. Remember how Amalek attacked you? You were on the derech. You were doing great. You went to Eretz Yisrael for a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years. You know, you were learning strong. You were davening. And now Amalek's kind of crept back into your life. And now your Yiddishkeit has become cold once again. Asher karcha baderech. We'll talk about that in a second. But the point that the Kashas Ramagid is making is you got to look yourself in the mirror. It's not just Amalek is like a general world problem or a general Jewish problem. Remember what Amalek did lecha, he says in two words, underline it. Lecha mamish. Mamish to you. Sha'asa bikir b'cha inyan Amalek. Look how Amalek has penetrated your what? Your inner world. Hayesh Hashem bikir beinu, is Hashem inside of me? Im ayin or not? What's the next words? Vayavu Amalek, Amalek attacked. So Chayr, if you don't have Hashem in your heart and in your mind, you know what's going to be in your heart and your mind? Amalek. You may not understand exactly what that is. But all of those parts of my neshama that are just not worked out, where I'm losing the battles, where again, going back to the top of the column, Asher lo lacham kenegdo karaoi, the battles that I haven't fought properly, that's called Amalek. That's Amalek penetrating our insides. That's Amalek getting inside of our hearts, inside of our minds. Sha'asa bekir b'cha inyan Amalek. That Amalek has entered our inner space. Amal kesem umeri. It has led us to the averas of kesem umeri, of divination and rebellion. Again, abandoning Hashem in various ways. Either just abandoning Hashem, rebelling against Hashem, trying to find other ways to be matzliach in life. I don't need Hashem. Haman's busy with his lotteries, with his dice, whatever it is that he was doing. Again, they entered you, mamish. Asher karcha baderech, explains our Rebbe, karcha hu lashon krirus. Karcha, we know, of course, many interpretations Rashi brings. What does it mean, asher karcha baderech? They happened upon you on the way. They were metame you on the way. Karcha is a lashon of krirus. Chevra, very simply, think about a point in your life when you were more on fire for your Yiddishkeit. When you were a little less passive about your Avodas Hashem. And if you've cooled off a little bit, that's called a malik. That's called a malik. That's what he's saying. Anytime a person is experiencing a Yerida, that Yerida is called a malik. Sheheker oscha mehislavus. A malik has cooled off your passion for Avodas Hashem. Sheroi lios kol adam belibo kemukad eish lefnei Hashem tamid. Because, Chavre, if we were to think about the opportunity that we have to wake up this morning, to be Jews, Seth, the zchus of putting on tefillin, you should be jumping for joy. It's the greatest zchus in the world. Vayitzahara mekar es ha'adam u'ma'atzlo. And the Yitzahara makes us cold. And the Yitzahara makes us passive. And the Yitzahara makes us very, you know, just very blah. Very unmotivated. You know? Yeah, I don't have to work so hard during Seder. I don't have to figure out Tosos because, you know, my Rebbe will help me to figure it out by the time we get to Shir. So why work so hard? And yeah, I daven, you know, I haven't had a real conversation with Hashem in a long time, but okay, you know. That Yitzhahara of coldness, that Yitzhahara that brings a person to atzlus, to laziness, that's called the Malik. Uvai lav v'kama mine pituyim. It comes in many forms of deception. It seduces you. Pito means seduction. It seduces you in many different ways. Umisnaker bilavushim, and it wears many different garments. Maybe that's part of the costumes on Purim. Learning to identify what's what. Because Amalek also comes in many different forms, many different costumes. Inyanim ad shemafat es ha'adam, it comes in many different ways, all to seduce a person to sin. V'omer la'adam, and I love when our Rebbe does this. Listen carefully. Chevra, look what the Avodas Yisrael does here. Va'omer la'adam, here's what the Yetzirah says to you. Chevra, there are certain tzaddikim, there are certain Sefer Chassidus that speak to us. Sometimes Sefer Chassidus, you know, they're saying their Torah. But sometimes the Rebbe becomes, you know, he talks to you the way that voice that you mamash have in your head. This is going to sound very familiar to us. The Shem Yishmuel does it a lot. Kedushas Levi does it sometimes. We've seen a bunch of times. The Avodas Yisrael tells you exactly. He says, I know what you're thinking. And he says it mamash. He says it straight. The Yitzhahara comes to a person and says the following. Ma lecha tiga larik. Why are you toiling in vain? Vitelaid lebela. Why are you, telaid literally giving birth, why are you producing for naught? Why are you wasting your time? Why are you pretending you're going to ever overcome certain yitzrei hara? Why are you pretending you're going to be a big talmid chacham? What makes you think it's even shayach for you to be a ben Torah for more than a couple of years? Halo ata asisa kama averos arein mispar. You've done, I know what you've done. You've done this and you've done that. And you'd be very embarrassed if you had to even think about the averus you've done. V'chaved mimcha hadavar lasos tshuva karaoi. And you know that it's too heavy, it's too burdensome to do real tshuva. Come on, how many of us know how to do real tshuva? Ulesagif masha atachayev, and to bear the brunt of whatever it is that you're chayev for, right? Lachein lama lacha lilmot Torah lespal b'kavana. See, Tahara says, you're just like, you're too far behind. You're not going to catch up. You're learning, you're davening. It's cute and everything, but come on, it's not going to like cancel the sick of eros you do. And the Yetzirah will bring you proofs of it. I'll quote a pasuk in Mishlei, Perichaf Aleph. The pasuk says that what? The karbanos of the wicked are abominable. Hashem doesn't want your karbanos. Hashem doesn't want your self-sacrifice. Right? You've made your choices already. You can't undo the things you've done. Ve'ein biyadcha lo mishalva sa'olam hazeh. And therefore, if you try to play the, you know, the Yiddishkeit game, you're not going to have tranquility in this world. V'gam nichseva tochaltecha lo'olam haba. And you've got no hope in the next world. V'sirash tarte gehenim. And you will inherit a double portion of hell. Your life will not be as geshmak as your friend in secular college. And you're not going to make it to olam haba in any significant way because you're not such a tzaddik. So basically, you're going to lose on both ends. You know? Like, you know enough about Judaism that you're not going to live a purely hedonistic lifestyle in this world. So you're not even going to be able to enjoy this world. But you're not enough of a good guy and a ben Torah and a tzaddik and a baal tshuva to get the next world. So this world, you're going to spend your whole time feeling bad for yourself. And in the next world, you're going to feel bad for yourself. So you're going to get a double portion of hell. This is what the Yetzer Hara says to a person. This cynical outlook, this is called a malik, friends. This is called a malik, to be so cynical. Right? To be so negative. So therefore, you know what the Yetzer Hara says to you? Listen, you might as well throw in the towel. You might as well try to at least enjoy this world a little bit. Shema na al kopanim. Listen, I have some advice for you. You know, at the very least, try to get involved in the pleasures of this world. Usmach bachar bialdusecha ba'olam hazeh. Young man, enjoy your time in this world. At least, you know, at least enjoy a little gashmias. Ve'echol u'shasei. Eat and drink and be merry. Ve'yitav libcha hayom. Enjoy the moment. Live in the moment. You know, YOLO, you only live once. You know, go for it. Have a good time. Ve'al tidag dagas machar l'olam haba. And don't worry about olam haba. Because you don't have much of an olam haba anyways. So if you're going to burn in hell, you might as well at least have a good time in this world. And if you'll tell me, well, but you know, but the guy, you know, the guy who was my chavrusa when I was Shana Aleph, he was Shana Bet, he's still in Eretz Yisrael, he's learning in Kolel. You know, like that guy made it. It's possible to make it. You know, there's some people who stay from for more than a couple of minutes. And this one's a big tzaddik, and that one's a chassid, and that one's Anshe Maisa, he's a good guy. He's still learning well, and he's davening well, and he's still performing acts of chesed. He just started that big tzedakah organization. So come on, there's people who can make a difference in the world in a holy way. There are people, right? This is, you know, your Yetzer Tov is pushing back a little bit. There are people who are working hard in Torah and Avoda. The Yetzer Hara says, nah, come on. Al tabit al mar'ayim ki kulo sag yachtav umi yodeya ma ma'aseyim b'seser. Yeah, okay, so on the surface, they might look like they've got it together. But come on, you know what they do in private? Maybe, who knows? Who knows what they're really plotting? Mi yodea mama sam besesa. You know what they do in private? So the fact that what? The fact that he wears this, sits us out? The Yetzer says, you're so naive? You think he's such a good guy? Come on, don't be fooled by any of it. Va'od kahina medaber ha-Yetzer Hara b'lev ha-odom ad shemapilo ba'atzlos ba'avodas Hashem yizbarach. And this is how the Yetzer Hara drags a person down. He creeps into your heart, he creeps into your mind, until he makes you so cold and so lazy in Avodas Hashem. So, Chevra, I can tell you right now, today in Gemara Shir, we have a Gevaldik Shir. A Gevaldik Shir in an understanding of what Megillas Esther is and how it was written in Lamdus. It has tremendous ramifications for Purim and for your whole life. And it's based on a brilliant presentation of the Brisker Rav. It's Gevaldik. I'm telling you right now, you should be jumping for joy just knowing what we're going to learn in Mirtz Hashem, where you're going to have the chance to learn with Bechavrusa, and then we're going to learn it together. And we'll try to put it together in a beautiful way. And we'll get to taste the deep world of the Lumdus of Brisk. But you'll see it has a very warm flavor to it as well. You should be mamish jumping for joy. And if I told you, if you take notes during Shir today, you'll have a beautiful Mahalach, a beautiful Purim Shir you can hold on to for the rest of your life. But some of you are saying, nah, come on, I got a lot of stuff, I got a paper to write. I've got midterms coming up, right? Whatever. So I'll know the Brisker Rav's Torah, I won't know the Brisker Rav's Torah. I'll know the Mahalach and Megillah Esther. I will know the Mahalach. Whatever, the Yetzer Hara, the Amalek says, nah, it's also good. Listen, some guys didn't even come to Shir today. I got up this morning. I'm in Shir. You want me to take notes now also? You want me to really concentrate? That's too much. It's too much. That's all Amalek. That's Amalek robbing you of the joy of life. That's Amalek trying to get you to be lazy in Avodas Hashem. Umechazik libo lamaros ene kvodo achmolicho kashor letevach. And the Yetzer Hara continues to lead you in such a way to the point that what? That you become so numb to this negativity of the Yetzirah that he's leading you literally like an ox to the slaughter. To the point that you go on autopilot and you kind of just cruise through life and whatever. Next thing you know, you're 30, you're 40, you're 50. And you start to wonder, like, well, what's the tachlis of my life? How did I become? You start to think back. You look at a picture of yourself from Shana Aleph, you know? You and your friend in Mea Sharim, and you're like, what happened to me? I was like, there was a point when I was really getting into it, and now like I'm such a passive Jew. However, that's called Amalek, and you have to fight it mamish tooth and nail. Lazeh his here Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a reason, yes, there's a reason that we have a mitzvah d'araisa of zechiras Amalek. And if you remember what we learned last week, according to the Sefer Achinuch, Sefer Achinuch says, I don't know how often you should do this. Maybe all the time. I don't know. Even though we stop once a year and we have our formal reading of Amalek, like we did this past Shabbos. But the Sefer Chinuch's right. The Torah didn't give us a specific time because it's an ongoing battle. Milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor ador. It's happening every hour and it's happening every day and it's happening every generation. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu warned us, remember Zachor, Eis, Asher, Asa, Lecha Amalek. Chever, make it personal. Don't make it general. Yeah, the world has evil people. That's not going to fix anything. You have to feel it in a deep way, in a personal way. Remember what Amalek did, as our Rebbe said, Lecha, to you. Remember what Amalek did to you, in a personal way. Asher karcha baderech. How Amalek was what? Sheheikir oscha, kisha'ata holech b'derech Hashem. That Amalek cooled you off when you were walking in the Derech Hashem. He then goes on to quote a remez from the Arizal, which is a little bit outside my pay grade, so those who want to look at it, you're welcome to look at it at your convenience. But I'm going to skip over a couple of lines to continue the next part of the pasuk. V'hoya b'haniach Hashem Elokecha. What happens next? Remember what Amalek did to you. V'hoya b'haniach Hashem Elokecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally gives you a rest, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, right? When you're finally able to kind of settle into life. So remember to destroy Amalek, right? Remember Amalek cooled you off, but if you push past them, remember, you still got to destroy Amalek. Because they can come back, they can creep back into your life at any point. Says the Kadosh Tzemagid, V'hoya b'haniach Hashem lokecha. When Hashem finally settles you down, kimilas b'haniach, the word b'haniach, tseiruf noch, biyud, and hey. B'haniach could be read noch, a certain menucha, a resting of biyur and hay. What does that mean? Dehainu. Kasher taskil vitavin b'shem yud hay. When a person comes to understand what yud and hay represents. Now, it's a little bit Kabbalistic here. Let's try to hold on tight. Heim chachma ubina vitanuach bam. Let's translate it very, very loosely. When you get your head in the right place, when you have a little yishuv adas, when you get past some of the initial bilbul of a malik, that I have chachma and bina, my brain, right, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere, so to speak, my head's in the right place. So says the Torah, Oz macho timcha zecher Amalek. Make sure what? At that moment you eradicate, you erase, says the Kadosh Tamagid, tishkach is the tseiruf, is a combination of the words tash koach. Tash koach means to what? To weaken your strength. Perish, shalotia tash koach. Be careful. Amalek is always lurking right around the corner. So the fact that you got past the sword of the Amalek, you had a good streak in your life. You said, yeah, that type of avera, I don't speak Lashon Hara, come on. In high school, I was a mean guy in high school. I used to talk about people all the time. I said a lot of really nasty things. But then I worked on myself. I'm not about Lashon Hara anymore. Be careful. Be careful. Make sure you finish off Amalek. Because Amalek can come back very quickly. And you never know at that moment of weakness, tash koach, be careful, perish shalotia tash koach. Don't be a person who lets down his guard, who allows for moments of weakness. V'lo tipol ba'atzlus chas v'shalom. Watch out for those moments of laziness. Because again, a malik can come back so fast. You know, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that when you uproot Avodah Zarah trees, when you're uprooting an Asherah tree, the Gemara says you have to make sure to dig out the roots. When you chop down an Avodah Zarah tree, don't just cut the tree on the surface level. Make sure you go beneath the surface and dig out the roots. Haman made himself into an Avodah Zarah. A malik is the Avodah Zarah Shebalev. If you want to get rid of a malik, you can't just, you know, trim on the surface. You got to dig deep. It's interesting. You know what the Gemara says about Haman? The Gemara says that Haman was a barber, right? A barber just, you know, touches things up on the surface, right? But a Jew who wants to uproot Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says you got to what? L'sharesh achara. You got to dig deep. You got to get down to the roots, to the shorashim. You got to dig down mamish to a deep place. So be careful. Be careful. Now that you think, oh yeah, yeah, I'm a person of Chachma and Bina, I'm not. Be careful. Watch out for those moments of weakness. And just like at the Pesach Seder, we want Hakei Ashinav. We punch the Rosh in the face. We knock out his teeth. Make sure you punch out the teeth of the Yetzirah. Blunt the teeth of the Yetzirah. Ve'amor lo. And say to the Yetzirah, in those moments of greatness. That's what Purim is. Purim is a moment when a Jew rises to the heights of the world. Cry out. Use it as a moment of tshuva. Hineni mischaret v'shav u'misnachem ala avar. Say, call out to Hashem, Hashem, I have genuine regret over my past. But not in a way of despair. Not in a way of depression, God forbid. Right? Chodesh Adar, b'simcha, tshuva b'simcha. U'mikan v'hala chujbina l'kabel alai yavodas Hashem be'emes shalo echta'od. And Hashem, I want to tell you, the way I feel right now in Purim, I feel like mamish, I can change my ways. From this point forward, I accept upon myself to serve you be'emes, and I'm not going to mess up again. Ve'eschaber le'tzadikim v'chasidim. Ve'heim yoreini derech ha'tshuva v'emes. And I'm going to start attaching myself to a good chevra. I'm getting away from Amalek. I'm getting rid of the Amalek. I'm getting away from people who drag me down. K'mo sha'amru chazal v'havi mischamim k'neged uran shel chachamim. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, warm yourself up by the what? By the ore of the Chachamim. However, you know what it says about the victory on Purim. La'ihudim ha'isa ora, v'simcha, v'sason, v'ikar. Right? Find a nice, warm Talmud Chacham to get close to. Right? Find the safer that warms your heart. Ve'ezka letakin es asher shichatati, ve'ezgaber kenegdecha tamir. And I want to be metakin. Whatever it is, wherever I kind of lost myself, wherever I was shiches, right? Whatever I, shiches is a lashon of destruction. Whatever I've destroyed, I want to strengthen myself and I want to fix. I want to be able to get back on track. Now, chevra, it's not so simple because Haman knows what we're trying to do. And Haman understands how we're trying to get ourselves to a good place. So Haman says, listen, I got to find a way, just like you're trying to uproot me completely, I got to try to uproot you completely. And that's why Haman says, it's not enough for me to just kill Mordechai. I've got to find a way to uproot the tzaddik, but I have to uproot the people as well. So jumping ahead to the left column on page Kuf Aleph, we continue now the psychology of Amalek. Vayivez be'einav l'shloach yad b'mordechai levado. Now we tune in once again to the words of Haman. This is from the third parak of Esther. Vayivez be'einav. It was scornful in the eyes of Haman to just want to harm Mordechai. He wanted to uproot Klal Yisrael. Why? Why did Haman feel that he needs to go after all the Jews? Why can't he just kill Mordechai? Ki yada ki Mordechai hu tzaddik gadol. Because he understood that Mordechai was a force to be reckoned with. Mordechai is a big tzaddik. And he understood vayar ki lo yachol lo levado. He understood that if he tries to fight Mordechai head to head, he's not going to be able to get Mordechai. Mordechai was a big person. Ragbikesh lakor es hakol. But if a tree is a very strong tree, and the roots start to rot, so the tree will crumble. He understood that if I try to uproot sort of the kol, the entirety of Klal Yisrael, via olam nidon acharubo, and after all the world is judged following the majority, so then uvador hahu neschayvu soneim shel Yisrael kolaya, in that generation, in that particular generation, namely in the Purim story, the Jewish people had strayed in such a way that the enemies of the Jews, which is a euphemism, means the Jews themselves were worthy of kalay, of destruction, like the Gemara says. So then, oz yuchel gam kein la'arog es Mordechai. So Haman says, this is perfect. If I can focus on the brokenness of Klal Yisrael, then yes, then even the tzaddikim will be dragged down. Even the Gadol Hador will be taken out. Says the Gemara the following. Let's analyze one Gemara. The Gemara says, Isa b'Gemara, the Gemara tells us, Shalu Talmidav Asher Yishon Bar Yochai. However, let's go one step deeper. Let's try to understand the Purim story. And this Gemara is really the ultimate explanation of the Purim story. Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The students asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what happened? Why was it that the Jewish people deserved to nearly be killed? As we learned yesterday, the Gemara in Daf Yodalad, right? It was mamish mi misa l'chaim. It was like t'chias ha-mesim. We were as good as dead. Haman was ready to kill Klal Yisrael. And yet somehow we had this unbelievable recovery. So the students asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, how did it happen? What happened? How did it get so bad? Why was Hashem ready to kill us? Amar lahem, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said back to his Talmidim, he said to them, Imru atem, you tell me, what do you think? No? Rabbi says to the Talmidim, Talmud comes to the Rabbi, Rabbi, I have a question for you. Right? So the Rabbi says back to the Talmidim, no, you tell me what you think. Right? You want my advice? I want your advice. What do you say? What do you think? So they asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what happened on Purim? So he says to the Talmidim, you tell me. Amru, they said, Bipnei shenenu misudaso shalosa rasha. They said, we think it's because they went to Achashverosh's party. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says to them, okay, interesting. Amar lahem, im kain, let's think about this. Who went to his party? Osan shebishushan yehargu, velo shel kol ha'olam. Who went to the party? Who went to the party of Achashverosh? The Jews of Shushan. Not all the Jews in the world. So why would all the Jews be subject to being killed? Amrulo, so they said to Rishon Bayochai, Emor Ata. Fine, I guess our answer is not that good. You give us a better answer. Amar lahem, mipnei shishtachavu letzelem. It's a bad photocopier. It's a little bit rubbed out. Right? But he said to them, because they bowed down to the tzelem, they bowed down to some type of statue, not Haman, but by Nebuchadnezzar in Babel. They bowed down to a statue. Amru lo, so they said to Rishon Bar Yochai, but hold on a second. So if in fact the Jews did the wrong thing, if they deserve to be killed, v'chi maso ponim yesh b'davar, so does Hashem favor them unfairly? Meaning, okay, if we were so bad that we deserve to die, so then we deserve to die. Perish Rashi, Perish Rashi, v'pnei ma zachu lanes, right? Why did they deserve to have a miracle? So if they were guilty, so why were they in fact saved? It was a miraculous salvation. Amar lahem, so Rishon Bar Yochai said to them, Heim lo asu ela lifanim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo asa ela lifanim. They only acted superficially, so too Hashem only acted with them superficially. They didn't deserve really to die. They only, on the surface, were worshipping, they were bowing to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. So since in their heart of hearts they were still good, so Hashem also, right, only on the surface, acted as if he was going to kill them, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't in fact harm them at all. Okay. V'tzarech lahavin ma shaychis hakusha v'chimaso ponim yesh bedavar al tam shir bishum bayochai. But we need to understand when the Talmidim say, so why did Hashem favor them? How is that the proper response to what Rishon Bar Yochai said? Umashma ledivrei Talmidav nicha, v'halo benkach u'benkach kosha v'chimaso panim v'chulu. In other words, it's almost as if the Talmidim are saying, well, Rishon Bar Yochai, what you're saying makes sense, right? What you're saying makes sense, but Hashem still favored them. Rashi's explanation that why were they worthy of an ace, it's hard to understand. Minale lefarish kain, why are you saying that they were zocha to an ace? Dilma hakushya kaposhta. Maybe the question is simple. Bipnei ma zachu v'nitzolo mikilayon. Ki anes shayach al inyan v'nahavachu asher yishlu ha-yehudim u'tliyas haman b'sol shlosh ha-yam l'gdulaso. I mean, there's two separate things here, Right? There's the question of why were Klal Yisrael almost destroyed? And how did Vina Hafechu everything turn out to be unbelievably good for Klal Yisrael? So the neis, the miracle, was the fact that Vina Hafechu, that everything got overturned in a remarkable way. The fact that we weren't killed, that might have to do with the fact that we did tshuva. But this conversation between Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his Talmidim is a window into what exactly was really going on. Again, Rav Shimon bar Yochai is telling his Talmidim, you know why we were almost destroyed? You know why Hashem pretended to destroy us? Because we pretended to bow down to an idol. But we only act superficially, so Hashem also only acts superficially. Explains the Kashetzer Magid. Listen carefully. The answer will make it very clear. V'nir Ali, Delefi Divrei HaTalmidim, Ein Kushya V'chimaso Panim Yesh B'davar. According to the Talmidim, the question of, you know, does Hashem favor us unfairly is not even a question. Why? Ki Adua Shekol Iker HaGezera. Asher yatsa biritzon kvoda yisbarach, lo haisa rak lahachzir Yisrael b'tshuva. Friends, everything that we went through on Purim, and he's about to say it in a very strong way, and I want you to underline this. If you have the sefer in front of you, underline this line. He's about to say, any time a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts us in a scary situation, and let's use this to reflect on the last entire year, is only because Hashem is trying to shake us up and to wake us up to do tshuva. That's all Hashem wants. The whole reason that there was such a gezeira, that it emerged biratzon kvodo yisbarach, it was part of Hashem's plan. It wasn't Haman's plan; it was Hashem's plan. Lo haisa rak lahachzir Yisrael b'tshuva, was all because Hashem wanted to bring the Jewish people to do tshuva. Kamosha kasuv teishev enosh adana, reemerge uvechol dor vador. And he writes, he says, and in every generation. Kol ha-pechodim u'gzeros raos rachmano litzlan, ein chefetz kvodo yisbarach, rak la'or yisrael l'tshuva shlema. And in every generation, anything that we go through, all of the suffering that we go through, any hardship that we go through, I don't know what's going on with the pages here. I'm sorry that they got all weird. Anything that we go through in any generation is only because, not because Hashem hates us, but rather that Hashem is trying to inspire us to do tshuva. Hashem wants to bring us to a tshuva revolution. So now the Talmidim asked Rav Shimon bar Yochai, so why did Hashem nearly destroy Klal Yisrael in that generation? So he says, you tell me. So they say to him, because they went to the Suda of Achashverosh. So he says, but that's only Shayach for the Jews of Shushan. So we need to understand, what did they think they were saying? Vitzarech lomar delefis farasam hava mina. They were thinking, ki kol Yisrael shaba oso ador haya mechza zakai. They figured most Jews are probably, as we're supposed to always see ourselves, 50-50. Va'osan shebishushan echriu l'kaf hasheni. But when a large group of Jews, the Jews of Shushan, decided to do something as terrible as going to Achashverosh's party, maybe they tipped the scales against Klal Yisrael. And therefore, yatza gzera al klal kulo. Maybe the entire Jewish people, we're now going to be punished. Our actions affect our fellow Jews. Aval kasher Mordechai hatzadik yodas kol asher nasa. But when Mordechai realized what was happening, and he gathered the Jews of Shushan, asher b'Shushan, he gathered them together. V'kibetz ha'yehudim asher b'Shushan b'tzom u'b'chi u'mispid b'tshuva shleima. Now we're back on the page over here. When Mordechai got the Jews together and brought them back to what? To daven and to do tshuva, as the pasuk says, v'ya'avor Mordechai. Right, miyad b'yom tov shel Pesach, that Mordechai even canceled Pesach that year, in order to do whatever he needed to do to bring Klal Yisrael to tshuva. Memeila hechriu anche Shushan lekav zchus. So the people of Shushan, in fact, with their tshuva revolution, tipped the scales in the other direction. V'nitzolu kulam v'nasalem neis b'zman muad b'shlosh yam harishonim. So in 3 days, all of a sudden, the whole thing was overturned. Because that's what Hashem wanted all along. Hashem wanted what? Hashem wanted to see that Klal Yisrael should be afraid and they should come to do tshuva. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, no, that's not the reason. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, you know what it was all about? You know what the whole story was about? That they bowed down to what? To the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. Ve'im kein kosha. Right? visafkam al yarech hatshuva, yarech b'tshuva. In other words, if the sin was the people of Shushan, so Mordechai says, you Jews are messing everything up. Oh my gosh. And they quickly do tshuva and everything is fixed. But if it goes back to the Jewish people as a whole, and the mistakes that we made under what? Under Nebuchadnezzar. So the Jews don't know that. The people all around don't know that. It's going to take time for Haman's decree to get out. It's going to take time to figure out what's happening. Why is Hashem allowing us to be handed over to such a wicked person? And therefore, the tshuva that some of the Jews are doing in Shushan shouldn't really be enough to fix the problem of all of Klal Yisrael. V'zeh shehikshu. So that's the question. V'chimaso panim yesh bedavar. So why did Hashem allow such an ace? Why is it that the people of Shushan did a little tshuva, and all of a sudden the whole Klal Yisrael are saved? And the answer is, v'alzeh heishiv, heim lo asu ela lefanim. Because the Jews only sinned what? On the surface. Lefichach HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo asu ela lefanim. And therefore Hashem only needs to scare them on the surface. Aval ikar ha'inyin ha'yelahachrid osam shiyasu tshuva b'galoi. But the whole purpose of this fear, the fear of Achashverosh and the fear of Haman, is simply to what? To bring the Jews to tshuva. They didn't have to work so hard necessarily to overturn this decree, because again, the aveira itself was not so significant. Hashem knew that their hearts was always were always in the right place. And now we understand one last step. Now we understand what Achashverosh says when he finds out from Esther that there's a problem. And this is what the king says when he finds out from Esther. She says, my people are in trouble. We need your help. And he says, Mihu zeh ve'ezahu, asher melo'o libo lasas kein. One of the strangest psukim in the whole Megillah. When Achashverosh says, who is the one? Right? Who is the one who's trying to harm you? As if you don't know. As if you don't realize. You forgot that you gave the power to your right-hand man, Haman, to do whatever he wants to the Jewish people. You couldn't put the puzzle together. You couldn't figure out who Esther's talking about. Achashverosh knows exactly what she's talking about. It says, Vayomer HaMelech HaChashverosh, Vayomer Lester Malka. Why does it say Vayomer two times? V'ine Vayomer HaSheini Hu Miutar. What's the Vayomer Vayomer? That second Vayomer seems to be extra. El Dekoi Al Malko Sha'olam. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu responding. It's Esther saying, we're in trouble, and I'm not sure how we're going to fix it. So HaChashverosh responds in this world, but Vayomer Lester Malka, Malko Sha'olam, Hashem is responding. And Hashem says, Mihu zeh ve'ezahu, asher milo'o libo lasos kein. Who's the one who's what? Is there anyone who has filled their heart to do this? What does that mean? Kein peyusho be'emes. Klomar, Mihu asher olsa alibo ligzar gzera rachas v'shalom be'emes. Hashem is saying, do you think, Esther, you're so nervous. Do you think that there's really a gzera be'emes hanging over Klal Yisrael? Do you think Haman actually has the authority to kill you? Ki kol ikar ha'inyan rak lefanim. The whole thing is on the surface. Ulachziram b'tshuva be'emes. The only thing that's be'emes here is the fact that Hashem says, I'm trying to bring you to a sincere tshuva. Aval kevan cheshavu v'nislach lahem, kisvu al Yehudim ketov be'enechem. But as soon as the Jewish people did tshuva, v'nahafachu, everything was overturned. And he continues in the piece, we're out of time, we got to stop, but he continues the piece and he says, you know, this again, this is a Malik. This attack of a Malik to tell you that there's no way you're going to be able to stop such a big gezerah. And he goes back to an idea that we've seen many times where the Yitzhara says to us, does it really make sense to think that you can serve Hashem? Hashem is so much greater than you, and you're so small, and how are you going to be able to actually serve Hashem? But the answer is, a Jew looks inside of himself, right? When we did in the Aveir and we bowed down, when all of Klai Yisrael were messing up, we were only acting on a surface level. V'chimaso ponim yesh b'davar. Right? Does Hashem show favoritism to us? And the answer is no. Hashem just looks on the surface and looks on what's on the pnim. Right? There's a panim, and then there's a pnim. There's a face, there's a surface level, and then there's what's on the inside. And therefore Esther's all nervous. What's going to be? How are we going to survive? And the Melech Malchim Lachim says back to her, Mihu zeh ve'ezehu asher milo libo lasos kein. Do you think be'emes, there's a gezer over Klal Yisrael? In every generation, whatever you're going through is just to try to frighten you back to me, Hashem says. Sometimes it works, you know. Sometimes being scared brings a person to tshuva. But Hashem is not trying to harm us. And the gzeir of Haman was never really going to happen. It's kind of like, you know, kafaleim har kagigis, right? We're standing at our Sinai, and Hashem puts a mountain over our head, and Hashem says, "Take the Torah. I'm going to drop this mountain on your head." Very scary. Hashem's not trying to scare us. Hashem just wants us to understand the seriousness of what we're doing. So the same thing here. Purim, which is a reacceptance of Torah, you need a Haman to come and to bully Klal Yisrael into coming back to Hashem in a real way, in a deep way. To be able to look at ourselves in a deep way. To realize, you know what? Sometimes a Malik has crept even into my insides. And I have to uproot it. I have to fight back. It's an ongoing battle in every generation. But if I look deeper, if I keep looking deeper, I'll realize that, you know what? There's a place inside of myself that a Malik can't touch. That my averas are really only on the surface, but my pnimius, my lifnai v'lifnim, my innermost chamber, Purim like Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes into the innermost chamber. So Purim, we enter the innermost space of ourselves. Hashem says, you don't have to worry. Mihu zeh ve'ezahu. You're so worried. Mihu zeh ve'ezahu. Who's trying to do this to you? No one's trying to do this to you. It's all from Hashem, and it's Hashem's way of trying to bring us to tshuva. All right, friends, we should be zochet to fight a Malik in a sincere way. It's a real battle. I really want you to think about that word, lecha. Zachor es asher asat lecha amalek. We think of a malek in these like very grand, you know, strokes. A malek is, you know, there's evil in the world, and there's things that are bad for the Jewish people. But pause for 1 minute between now and Purim, or on Purim, and just think, where has a malek conquered me? Or where does a malek think that he's destroying me? And fight back. Asher karcha baderech. I was on a good derech, and then Amalek has got me off the road. Amal kesem umeri. I'm involved in all sorts of things. That's not it. That's not the derech. Mordechai says, listen, there are many drachim to Hashem, but it has to be a derech Hashem. It has to be a derech of Torah. It has to be a derech of avoda. Don't get caught up on those crooked, right, back roads of Amalek. Amalek lashon of akul, of crooked, of bent, of confused. All right. We should be zochet to win the battle against Amalek once and for all. Everyone say amen. Omar, amen.